أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وخاتم النبيين وسيد المرسلين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. Respected elders, brothers, sisters, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. تقبل الله أعمالكم. May Allah accept all of your acts of worship. May He give us the tawfiq to attain the purpose of fasting during this month, which is to increase our taqwa and further our relationship and become closer to Allah by acting upon His commands and staying away from His prohibitions and adorning our souls with those characteristics that He desires from us. For those of you who missed the opening speech last night, I just want to recap what we're doing, what we're trying to do, inshallah, in these upcoming nights. Our purpose is very simple, nothing fancy. We're trying to read Quran and, inshallah, learn from the Quran, because it is the month of Quran. And the topic that I've chosen to explore during the course of these nights is life lessons from the story of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. And last night we talked about how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is somebody who is mentioned with extreme praise in the Quran. Allah speaks of him in a very lofty way. And according to Mufassirin of the Quran, the individual who is praised the most, meaning the most number of times, with the most number of epithets, the most number of titles, is Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam, above all the other prophets in the Quran. And how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is the father of Muslims, because he is the spiritual father. He is the one who, when everyone else was doing shirk, he started the creed of La ilaha illallah, and he was the one who was a Muslim. And it was this religion, which is known as the Hanif religion, the religion of Tawheed, that eventually formed into what we know as Islam. And we talked about how Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran is referred to as somebody who has a qalb which is salim, a heart which is pure from anything other than Allah. Now tonight we want to pick up, inshallah, on another theme. Last night was talking about the merits of Nabi Ibrahim. Tonight we're talking, inshallah, about the way that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam argues with idol worshippers. The Quran talks about Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. Previous books also mention him. In the Bible you can find the story of Nabi Ibrahim as well. But in that story of Ibrahim in the Bible, they don't mention this particular thing, which is how is it that he combated idols and idol worshipping during his time. This is something that's unique to the Quran. And there's a lot that we can learn from exploring the arguments that he uses when he's talking to idol worshippers. Before I go to the verses for tonight, I just want to give you a background as to what kind of idols we're talking about here. Later on, when they were able to excavate and find, you know, architectural remains from different civilizations, they are able to find out how is it that people used to worship, what kind of idols that they used to create. And what we understand is they used to have idols from, and also from historical reports, they would have idols from stone, from wood, from copper, from metal. And these idols used to represent beings. You see, people at that time used to believe that there were these non-visible entities that used to govern the universe. There was the god of the skies, the god of the ocean, the god of the land. There were some jinns and there were some angels who had special powers, and they would govern the universe. But because people weren't used to this idea. They couldn't grasp this concept of a being that couldn't be seen. They used to form idols that would be symbols of those beings. Now initially, they thought of these entities as being media, a medium between them and that entity. But over the course of time, the worship that they would do of these symbols, of these signs, of these media, would eventually become worship of those things themselves. Meaning that eventually they began to worship the idols themselves. This stone carving, this metal or copper wiring, or even sometimes they would draw something that would become an idol for them. It is this type of culture that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam is entering in, and he wants to argue with them in a logical way. He wants to show them the fallacy of their arguments. What's wrong with idol worshipping? The first verse that we want to look at tonight is, or the first set of verses, is from Surah Shu'ara, Surah number 26, starting from verse number 70. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذ قال لأبيه وقومه ما تعبدون. Okay, this is talking about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Remember and recollect when Nabi Ibrahim told his people, what is it? He tells his father and his people, ما تعبدون, what is it that you worship? Now, one thing I should mention here is that Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam in the Quran refers to a figure as his Ab. And Ab in Arabic means father, but there's a difference between Ab and Walid. Walid in Arabic is the one who is your biological father, your Walid. But Ab is somebody who's your father. And just like in English, father can mean a number of different things. It can mean your biological father. It can mean even, let's say, your stepfather. It can mean, in some cases, your uncle, who's a respected uncle, and other such father figures. And what we understand from a careful analysis of the Quran is that Nabi Ibrahim had a caretaker, a guardian, whose name was Azar, whom he would refer to as his father, who was an idol worshipper, but he wasn't his true biological father. When Nabi Ibrahim says to his father and his people, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ, what is it that you're worshipping? How is it that they answer? قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ أَصْنَامًا فَنَضَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. They proudly respond. Right? They're asking, this is their pride, you know, this is the idols that they worship. They say that we worship idols, فَنَضَلُّ لَهَا عَاكِفِينَ. We keep on going to them and we always pay attention to them. I mean, we don't leave them alone. We go back to them again and again and again. Now, before we look at how Nabi Ibrahim wants to argue against them, I want to invite you to think about this concept of idols in our society. Is it the case that an idol is just something of stone or something which is made out of copper or metal? Or is it something which has a wider terminology? And in order to help us for this, I want to refer you to a tradition. This tradition is from the book Ilal al-Shara'i. And in this tradition, one of the companions of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam asks him about doing sujood, making sajda, sujood. He says, he asks him, what is it that we're allowed to do sujood on? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that sajda and sujood is not allowed on anything except that which grows from the earth. Okay, now, is it the case that we can do sajda on everything that comes from the earth? As you know, no. There's two conditions, right? One of them is that it cannot be eaten, something that we can eat, and the other thing is that it cannot be something that we wear. Okay, these are the two sort of exceptions. Now this companion, his name is Hisham ibn Hakam. You must have heard of him. He's one of the great companions of Imam Sadiq. He's curious, he wants to know. So he asks him, he says that why is it that we're not allowed to do the sujood on those things that we can wear or those things that we can eat? The response of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is very interesting. He says that because لِأَنَّ السُّجُودْ هُوَ الْخُضُوءُ لِلَّهِ, sujood is an act of demonstrating humility to Allah, submissiveness. فَلَا يَنْبَغِي أَن يَكُونَ عَلَى مَا يُؤْكَلْ وَيُلْبَسْ. It's not fitting that we should demonstrate our humility while putting our forehead on something that we eat or wear. Why not? Because the children of the world are slaves of what they eat and what they wear. And the one who is prostrating, the one who is doing sujood, is doing sujood to Allah. So we see here that the Imam al-Islam is telling us that one of the acts, one of the objects of worship of human beings, of people who are attached to the dunya, is what they wear and what they eat. Look at what these people argue with Nabi Ibrahim. They say that, or how they explain, they say that we're worshipping these idols and we keep on going back to them again and again and again. We can't stay away from them. They occupy our attention. We're fascinated with them. We're obsessed by them. And you can find aspects of this even in our society as well. Now look carefully at how is it that Nabi Ibrahim responds to them in verse number 72. قَالَ هَلْ يَسْمَعُونَكُمْ إِذْ تَدْعُونَ أَوْ يَنْفَعُونَكُمْ أَوْ يَضُرُّونَ He says that he asks them, do they listen to you? Do they hear you when you make dua to them? Or do they benefit you, or do they cause you harm? Very simple question, right? Are they listening to you when you make dua to them? And number two, is that are they capable of helping you? Or are they capable of keeping away harm from you? In Surah Maryam, and this is the second set of verses that I want to look at, in Surah Maryam, Surah number 19, verse number 42, we see a similar dialogue taking place between Nabi Ibrahim and his father, Azar. Here, in verse 42, he says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إذ قال لأبيه يا أبتي لما تعبد ما لا يسمع ولا يبصر ولا يغني عنك شيئا Oh my father, why is it that you worship that which does not hear you and that which does not see you and that which cannot give you anything, that which cannot help you in any sort of way? But these characteristics are very important for us, because by knowing how people do shirk, by knowing how people do the wrong thing, we can understand what the right thing is. First of all, what we understand from this is that in the logic of Nabi Ibrahim, if somebody wants to make dua, they have to understand that the one they're making dua to has to hear them. They have to be capable of hearing them. And they have to be capable of knowing what is it that they want. And this is something that we need to keep in mind when we are making dua to Allah. One of the greatest acts of making dua is the salat that we perform. Right? Sometimes we think of salat as something different than dua.